As we continue our study of the Gospel of Matthew today, you will keep in mind that we are thinking together about the exhortations which the Lord Jesus Christ gave concerning his return. We looked at three exhortations, and then we said we were going to look at one historical incident and three parables which would amplify the exhortations which were given. And in our last study, we began a discussion of that historical incident. That incident was related to the days of Noah, for the Lord Jesus Christ said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in that hour when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Many things might be said about the life that people lived in the days of Noah, but we suggested to you that the main characteristic was one of unbelief. For 120 years, Noah cried out, "Judgment is coming." And no one believed except his family. They went on pursuing their own interests without one concern that the Lord was going to visit judgment until the day that the judgment fell. Then they believed it, but then it was too late, and their unbelief proved their undoing. The suddenness of that particular day was described in verses 40 and 41 of the 25th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Perhaps it would be wise for us to refresh our minds concerning these verses. I believe it's Matthew 24 instead of Matthew 25. Matthew 24, verse 40. "This then shall be the way it is. Two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left." And then the exhortation, of course, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come." Those two verses discussing the suddenness of the Lord's return have proved to be a battleground for the theologians. There is a difference of opinion among them as to what these verses actually refer. Do they refer to the rapture, or do they refer to the revelation? Do keep in mind, please, what we have suggested to you about those two acts in the drama of the second coming of our Lord. The rapture refers to the coming of our Lord for his church. The revelation refers to the coming of our Lord with his church to the earth. In the rapture, he comes in the air. In the revelation, he comes to the earth. Now we read here that two shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and the one shall be taken, and the other left. Well, I think that you could see, in the light of what we already know about both the rapture and the revelation, that these verses of Scripture, as far as literalness is concerned, could certainly apply to either one of these events, either the rapture or the revelation. One of these days, when the rapture actually occurs, men will be together doing whatever they may be doing, described here in the days of Noah, giving in marrying and giving in marriage, the ordinary events of life. They will be engaged in the ordinary events of life, and suddenly, when the rapture of the church occurs, one shall be taken and the other left. That is the believer who has received Christ as his Savior and who is a member of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, will be taken, because at the rapture the Lord Jesus Christ comes for his bride. And suddenly the believer will be gone and the other believer will be left. The one who is gone will be raptured to eternal bliss, and the other will be left to face the tribulation and finally eternal doom at the great white throne judgment. However, if this passage of Scripture refers to the revelation, the one who will be taken will be the one who is taken in judgment at the end of the tribulation, and the one who is left will be left to enter in to the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will find this illustrated in greater detail later on in the 25th chapter. But for the present, it might be wise for us to recognize that there is an excellent commentary on this passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Notice these words, "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Will you notice, please, in verse 3, the words, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. What were these people doing in Noah's day? Saying essentially that, peace and safety. Everything is all right. Everything is happening just as it has always happened. Oh, of course, there is that old fool preacher over there talking about a flood. But he doesn't know what a flood is. It's never rained, and he's never seen any water like that. He doesn't need to be worrying us. Peace and safety. That was their cry, and then sudden destruction. My friend, is that not what we are doing in this very hour in which we live? Are not the officials in our own nation, for example, saying, we don't have anything to worry about. Things are in better condition now than they have ever been in all the history of the world. Peace and safety, that seems to be the battle cry, true. We are thinking about armaments and we're thinking about defense, but the whole idea is we can handle the situation if we just learn to live with one another. But here is the word of God plainly declaring that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. Peace and safety are the bywords of the day. Therefore, friend, beware, for sudden destruction most certainly will come. And when the Lord Jesus Christ would emphasize the attitude that sudden destruction would come, he emphasized the importance of being ready when the Lord comes. He will come suddenly, friend, and there will be no time for preparation then. Now, it would be natural that following this historical incident, the Lord Jesus Christ would speak a parable which describes the danger of sleeping at the Lord's return. A very brief parable found in verses 43 and 45 of Matthew 24. Know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. That is the parable, very brief. A good man is the man who is in charge of the house. He's the chief servant. He is the householder, as he is referred to in other passages of Scripture. The family had gone away and left the chief servant in charge. The owner of the house left and left the chief servant in charge, and while the owner of the house was gone, the house was broken into, and all the valuables were taken. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, now you know very well, if that chief servant had known at what watch, that is, the particular hour, if he had known the particular period in the night the house would be broken into, he would have watched, and he would have thwarted the thief before he had a chance to steal anything. Now, why do we use the phrase sleeping at the Lord's return? Because the Lord the word watch, is used twice in this particular verse, and a different word is used each time. He would have watched. That word watched there is the translation of the Greek word Gregorio, which is the word that means he would have stayed awake. He would not have permitted the house to be broken into. He didn't just doze off. He would have purposefully stayed at his post. Turn, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and notice the comment which the Holy Spirit of God makes on this very passage of Scripture. As I remind you, that the best commentary on any passage of Scripture is the Scripture itself. Keep that in mind as we look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. What is Paul talking about? He's saying you're not like that fellow that Jesus was talking about that was asleep so that the coming of the Lord overtook him as a thief. You believers, are all children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor are we of the darkness. Not being of the night and not being of the darkness, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Did you notice the word sleep in the passage here in 1 Thessalonians 5? It's the very same Greek word for watch found in Matthew chapter 24. Now, what is the attitude that we should have toward the coming of the Lord in view of the suddenness of the Lord's return? We should maintain an attitude of sleeplessness. We should maintain an attitude of wakefulness. We should be constantly on the alert, for we do not know what hour our Lord may come. It is easy for us to sleep in connection with the coming of the Lord when we remind you that we are not speaking primarily of a physical sleepiness. We are speaking of a lack of awareness of the signs which indicate the Lord's return. You and I must be awake, alert, spiritually very conscious of what is happening in our day. I repeat what I have said to you in another study, what the Lord Jesus Christ said concerning individuals who seem to be able to discern the signs of the times, but not able to discern those signs which indicate the coming of the Lord. In the Old Testament, there was a need for people to have an understanding of the times that they might know what to do. I say to you today, dear friend, that you and I need that understanding of the times to know what to do. And we ought to be praying that God will give us that understanding, that when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, we will be ready to meet him, graciously rejoicing in the fact that our Lord has come.